From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. We dwell in Him. Do you want a house for your soul? Do you ask, what is the purchase? It is something less than proud human nature will like to give. It is without money and without price. Ah, you would like to pay a respectable rent. You would love to do something to win Christ? Then you cannot have the house, for it is without price. Will you take my master's house on a lease for all eternity, with nothing to pay for it, nothing but the ground rent of loving and serving him forever? Will you take Jesus and dwell in him? See, this house is furnished with all you want. It is filled with riches more than you will spend as long as you live. Here you can have intimate communion with Christ and feast on his love. Here are tables well stored with food for you to live on forever. In it, when weary, you can find rest with Jesus, and from it you can look out and see heaven itself. Will you have the house? Ah, if you are houseless, you will say, I should like to have the house, but may I have it? Yes, there is the key. The key is, come to Jesus. But you say, I am too shabby for such a house. Never mind, there are garments inside. If you feel guilty and condemned, come, and though the house is too good for you, Christ will make you good enough for the house by and by. He will wash you and cleanse you, and you will yet be able to sing, We dwell in Him. Believer, thrice happy art thou to have such a dwelling place. Greatly privileged thou art, for thou hast a strong habitation in which thou art ever safe, and dwelling in Him, thou hast not only a perfect and secure house, but an everlasting one. When this world shall have melted like a dream, our house shall live, and stand more imperishable than marble, more solid than granite, self-existent as God, for it is God Himself. We dwell in Him.
My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth all wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full, he has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Stranger on earth, sinner by choice and an alien by birth, but I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, oh, glory to God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Continuing his series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns now brings the final portion of a message called What's Wrong with the World and How God Will Fix It. The text is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23. where the Apostle Paul shows that not only human beings, but the entire created world has been affected by sin in the wake of Adam's fall. Because of this, God's originally perfect creation is now in a state of degradation. Everything is running down. And yet the text speaks of the creation expecting or longing for redemption, release from the curse. Furthermore, because of the effects of sin, believers in Christ are spoken of as groaning for that emancipation. The text promises that they will be brought into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. This is the ultimate glorification of God's believing people. The curse will be lifted, and Christ will reign as King forever. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message. What's wrong with the world, and how God will fix it?
There's a prophecy here. We read a counterpart in Isaiah chapter 65. The glorious promise. In the New Testament, Peter says, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're looking for the new heavens and the new earth, and we're not going to be disappointed. John on the Isle of Patmos already caught the sight of it. In chapter 21, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The reversal of the curse. Here indeed is the emancipation of the entire creation. And that leads us to the fourth and final great element, which is the glorification of the sons of God. I've referred to the word the adoption, the manifestation, the revelation as God's sons. What is that going to entail? Do you remember when we looked at verse 17, that if we're children, then we are heirs of God? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, what does that mean? I can give you a very broad, as I have in dealing with that text, I can give you a very broad meaning. But I can't tell you what it means. If I could tell you, I may as well be speaking double Dutch, for you wouldn't understand me. Our little minds, conditioned by the circumstances of this world, we could not begin to conceive of the glories that are involved in being joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Who can tell what Jesus Christ has purchased with his blood? Who can tell all that he has merited by his obedience unto death? Let me put it differently to you. What do you think the man, Christ Jesus, deserves from his Father's hand? Throughout all eternity, what do you think he deserves to get from the Father's hand? I can't tell you that in detail. But it's more glorious than I could ever imagine. It's more glorious than any archangel could ever imagine. It's greater than anything that has been ever written in human language or thought of in human mind. Here we are plumbing the depths of the beauty and the glory and the wisdom of God's eternal salvation plan. And I can tell you this, the Bible says everything that the Savior himself deserves to receive from the hand of God, his joint heirs will receive with him. They are equal heirs. Equal heirs. Can you let that sink in? This amazes me. I can't for the life of me understand that. Why would anybody give up Christ for the trinkets of the world? Why would they turn away from Christ for the baubles of this old world? To be treated on an absolute equality with the man Christ Jesus. An equal heir. And I tell you, that revelation of the sons of God is going to show us what verse 17 really includes. There'll be the redemption of the body. You know, one of the big questions that Pentecostalists and Charismatics throw at you is, do you not believe that healing is in the atonement? Sure, I believe healing's in the atonement. Because I believe that glorification's in the atonement too. But my body's certainly not glorified yet. I mean, if you thought that I was going to go through heaven or through eternity looking like this, I hope you're wrong. Christ has purchased the redemption of the body. A body free from sin. A body free from pain. A body free from aging. A body free from every imperfection. The redemption of the body starts with the resurrection of the dead saints, their bodies coming forth from the earth. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 looks forward to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ shall change our vile body. Our vile body. Literally, the body of our humiliation. Let me ask you, how long and how often has your body humbled you? And I'm not just talking about humbling your pride when you look in front of the mirror, stand in front of the mirror, and you see the wrinkles and the hair line disappearing. I'm not just talking about that. How often have you found the spirit willing but the flesh weak? And the body has betrayed you. It's humbled you. This body of humiliation. I'd love to be able to spend a day and a night in prayer. Do you think this body wouldn't fight it every inch of the way? I can remember long nights spent in prayer. And I can tell you, yeah, the body fought. It's a body of humiliation. I'd love to have the energy to blaze a trail across this world for God. There's a day coming when this body of humiliation will be transformed to what? To be made like unto his glorious body. We're going to have a family likeness, made like unto his glorious body. What all does that mean? I can't begin to imagine. But the little bit that I think I can imagine, as I read the Gospels and see the beauty and the glory of the risen Christ, I say, man, what a Savior. What a salvation. What a glory. And for whom? For whom? For angels? Ah, here's a glory angels will never reach. Here's a glory archangels will never attain to. Here is going to be eternally the pinnacle of God's entire creation. Redeemed men in union with Jesus Christ, made like unto him, joint heirs with him, the body redeemed. The liberty of eternal glory. creation. John said that it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we're going to be something very different. Now this is the future of God's people. But Paul's whole argument here is the world is going to be a transformed world. The universe is going to be a transformed universe. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. The whole fabric of nature, the whole fabric of creation, the inanimate creation is going to be totally transformed, infused with the glory of Christ and his people. And it may surprise you to hear me say this. The irrational world, the world of what we call the brute beasts, totally transformed. You see, the blessings of glorification are going to be like the rays of the sun, and they're going to penetrate to leave not a dark spot in this new heaven and new earth. Then I have to stand back. I've read to you tonight from Revelation chapter 21. I read the first four verses. Talk to you about the glory of the sons of God. I've talked to you about the glory that's going to spread out to the very fabric of creation. But many, millions, myriads, multitudes, I can't put a number, of men and women blessed with intellect and blessed further with a knowledge of the truth of the gospel will not feel one warm beam of that gospel glory, but they'll perish in what Daniel the prophet called shame and everlasting contempt. For in Revelation 21, John goes on to write, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and he goes down a list of sinners, Christ rejectors, unwashed, unregenerate, unjustified, unsaved. But these people, far from entering into glory, are cast out into outer darkness. Cast into the blackness of hell. They're damned eternally. We know what's wrong with the world. Basically, what's wrong with the world is wrong is what's wrong with the people of the world. Except that for people, their depraved states, one of willing bondage to sin. We also know how God will fix the world. We know God's answer for the world. It's Christ's redemption. And that's his answer for every man, woman, and child in the world. Lay hold of Christ by faith in him, and you too will have that joyful anticipation of his soon coming glory. We used to sing an old hymn, forever with the Lord. Amen, so let it be. Life from the dead is in that word. 'Tis immortality. here in the body pent, absent from him I roam, and daily pitch my moving tent, a day's march nearer home. That's what Christians are doing right now. A day's march nearer home. I wonder where you're going. I wonder when God reveals the sons of God. Will you be there? Will you be in that number? The old Negro spiritual said, I want to be among that number when the saints go marching in. We know what's wrong with the world. If you're not saved, we know what's wrong with you. I've shown you God's answer. Make sure to get to Christ and then live for him in the earnest expectation of a revelation of the sons of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.